Chapter 3 The Snoring Prince. Jonah and I hold still under the bed, listening to the 12 princesses whisper and giggle in the dark room. I can't wait for them to fall asleep so we can sneak out of our hiding spot. My legs are starting to cramp, and I think Jonah has nodded off. I was hoping all their dancing would make the princesses fall asleep fast, but apparently not. I have no idea what time it is at home now, or how much time we have left here in the fairy tale. We need to find the crown ruby and get back to Mary Rose. Finally, the princesses grow quiet. Then I hear a few little snores. "Let me make sure they're all sleeping," I whisper. I slither out on my belly and peer around the room. No movement. All the eyes I can see are closed. Some of the princesses are even wearing sleep masks. "Come out," I whisper to Jonah. He darts out on his stomach and stands up. I gesture to the door, hoping that it leads to someplace safe. Jonah and I tiptoe across the room and slip out the door. We emerge into a small, darkened hallway. "What now?" Jonah whispers. "Find the crown ruby," I whisper back, "for Mary Rose." Jonah scowls. "Why do we have to do what Mary Rose says?" he grumbles. I blink at him. What's his problem? Someone got up in the middle of the night on the wrong side of the bed. "Because we said we'd help her," I remind him. "She's our friend, and it seems like she's getting weaker." "Fine," Jonah says with a sigh. "What's a crown ruby anyway? Is that in the original story?"
"I don't think so," I say. I'm trying to remember the story. Our Nana read us all the fairy tales when we were little, and I always paid close attention. Jonah, not so much. Suddenly, I hear a loud snore, and it isn't coming from the princess's bedroom. It sounds like it's coming from a few steps ahead of where Jonah and I are standing. Jonah and I exchange a glance. Crumbs. Who else is in the hallway with us? Walking on tiptoes, we nervously follow the sound and stop. The moonlight coming in through the castle windows shows a table and chair. A young man is seated in the chair with his head flopped to one side. He's totally asleep and snoring loudly. There's an empty cup on the table.
"Some guard," Jonah whispers. "Asleep on the job."
Is he a guard, though? I study him. The snoring guy has short dark hair, pale skin, and a patch on his fancy blazer like a royal crest from a kingdom. The crest is made up of circles and squares. It looks different from the crest on the tapestry in the princess's room. Whoever this guy is, I don't think he's from Dews. Jonah steps a bit closer.
"Careful!" I whisper yell. "Don't wake him! I think he's a prince!"
"Prince? He followed us? Where?"
Jonah looks around hopefully.
"No, not our prince. A prince, as in a royal prince."
"But why would a royal prince be sleeping in the hallway?" Jonah asks. "Wouldn't the king and queen give him his own room? What's he doing here?"
Just like that, the original story comes crashing back to me. I take Jonah's hand and lead him around the corner so we can talk in private and not wake the prince.
"I'll tell you the story of the 12 dancing princesses," I begin in a low voice. "Once upon a time, a king had 12 daughters, 12 princesses."
"The girls we just saw," Jonah whispers. "Is there a queen?"
"I don't know," I say. "A lot of fairy tales don't have queens. Poor moms."
Every morning, the 12 princesses come to their royal breakfast wearing shoes that are all scuffed, with the heels worn down. No matter how many new pairs the king gives them, the shoes are always worn down each morning.
"What are they doing all night? walking on sandpaper?
They dance, I say. The 12 dancing princesses, remember?
Oh, right. Where do they go dancing? Jonah asks.
I'll get to that, I say, waving a hand. The king can't figure out how the princesses are wearing down their shoes every night, so he decides to hold a contest.
Oh, a dance contest? Jonah asks. Like that show Dancing with the Stars?
Not exactly. The king says that any prince who can figure out what the princesses are doing at night can choose whichever princess he wants to marry and become heir to the throne.
What if it's a young princess? Does she have to get married?
Jonah asks, frowning. I guess engaged to be married, I say.
And the princesses don't have any say at all? That's awful,
Jonah says. I nod. It really is.
Although, I don't think that prince, Jonah adds, nodding in the direction of the sleeping guy, has figured out anything.
He hasn't, I say. Well, he tried, but failed. He sat right outside the princess's room so he could see what they were doing, but the princesses wanted to keep their secret. So last night, they put a sleeping potion in the prince's wine to make him get all sleepy. They waited till he was out cold and snoring, then they opened up the secret trap door in their room and snuck down the steps.
We saw the trap door! Awesome sauce! Where do the steps go?
Jonah asks, wide-eyed. Outside, to a riverbank. The princesses take boats to another castle where they dance the night away. And then they row back across the river, come up through their trap door, and go to bed, which we just saw happen.
Fun! But what happens in the morning?
The king looks at his daughter's shoes and sees that they're scuffed again. The king asks the prince how that happened, and of course the prince has no idea since he was asleep and didn't see the princesses leave or come back.
He totally lost the contest, Jonah says.
Actually, I say, he gets 3 nights to figure it out. Not sure what number night he's on now. Jonah tiptoes around the corner and over to the prince. I follow. Jonah lifts up the prince's hand and waves to me. Thankfully, the prince is still out cold.
Jonah, I say, cut it out.
Jonah chuckles.
Sorry, but he's so deep asleep. What happens if he doesn't figure out the princess's secret after 3 nights?
He asks, still waving the prince's hand. It's bad, I say. I make a throat-cutting motion.
Yikes, Jonah says.
He drops the prince's hand and winces.
Is he the only prince who doesn't figure it out? What happens at the end of the story?
Lots of princes try to guess, but they all fail. Finally, an older soldier returning from battle comes across an old woman in the woods. He tells her he wishes he could be heir to a throne.
Who wouldn't want that? Jonah says. If you're heir to the throne, you can probably have ketchup with every meal if you want.
True, and not just any ketchup, the fancy kind, I tell him.
There's a fancy kind of ketchup? He asks.
Yes, I've seen it at Penny's house. It's in a glass jar.
But what makes it fancy?
I don't know. More expensive tomatoes? I am sorry I brought up the fancy ketchup. Let me finish the story, okay?
But is it still red?
Yes! Focus, Jonah! So the soldier knows that every man who's tried to win the contest has lost his life. But the old woman tells him, go to the castle. When you sit at the table outside the princess's room, do not drink anything. Then she gives him a cloak that will make him invisible so that he can follow the princesses and see where they go and what they do.
Whoa, Jonah says. An invisibility cloak, like in Harry Potter? That's amazing. So what happens to the soldier?
He enters the contest. That first night, he sits down at the table outside the princess's open bedroom door. A glass is there, full of wine. He pretends to drink it, and then he pretends to be asleep.
Smart.
With one eye open, I continue, he sees the princesses get up from their beds, all 12 of them. He sees them open the trap door and go down the steps.
When does he put on the invisibility cloak?
Jonah asks eagerly. Right after the last girl is down the steps. He hurries after them, totally invisible. He follows the princesses outside and gets in a boat. No one knows he's there. The 12 princesses row across the river to the dancing hall inside the other castle. They dance for hours. The soldier watches it all. He knows he'll need proof of where they've been, so he takes a few pieces of evidence. A silver branch from a tree, a goblet. When the princesses leave, he gets back in the boat, and he's quick to jump out first and rush inside the castle. He goes back to the table outside their bedroom and takes off the cloak so he can be seen. He pretends to be asleep when they come up through the trap door.
Very smart, Jonah says.
I nod. The princesses think they've gotten away with their scheme again. And the soldier does the same thing for the next 2 nights. And then on the 3rd day, the king asks the soldier to explain how the princess's shoes got scuffed. The soldier tells what he saw and shows the evidence. The princesses gasp. The king declares that the soldier may now choose his princess. The soldier chooses the oldest, and he becomes heir to the throne. The end.
Wow. Jonah says, good for the soldier, I guess. Bad for the princess who has no choice about who she marries.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you don't think that's him?
Jonah asks, pointing to the sleeping guy.
No, he's too young, and he's not wearing a soldier's uniform.
Aw, Jonah says, looking sad.
Yeah.
I feel a lump in my throat. The sleeping prince looks so innocent.
Maybe we should help him, Jonah says, so he, you know, doesn't die.
I was just thinking that. It does seem like the right thing to do, I say, but we need to focus on finding the crown ruby for Mary Rose.
Maybe doing one will help us with the other, Jonah suggests. We can find the crown ruby and use that to help the prince, too.
He pauses and adds,
what do you think Mary Rose and our prince are up to right now?
Before I can answer, I notice the first hints of sunlight appearing through the castle windows.
Speaking of right now, let's try to find the crown ruby, I whisper, grabbing Jonah's hand. Quick, before anyone wakes up.